This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, we've been going through some of the scriptures that are personally important to me and should be important to a new believer. And we've gotten down to the scriptures that encourage. If you'd like the list of scriptures that we've been looking at, you can find them on my website, and I'll give you that address at the close of the program. You can also contact me by regular mail, and if you do that and ask for the list of scriptures, I'll send them on to you. So if you want my website address or my regular mailing address, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we're in the section of that list that deals with scriptures that encourage, and we have talked about 1 Peter 5:7, which says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that is a very encouraging verse for a Christian. He cares for you, or he cares concerning you. And then Hebrews 13:5, we've looked at, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in Galatians 6:9, we read, and let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And so we need to recognize that if we don't sow, we don't reap, and if we do sow, we will reap, and we need to be sowing good seed, which would be sowing the Word of God, which is the good seed. Now, last time we looked at the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And I really like this verse because I like the promise that he is with us even to the end of the age. And I think I pointed out that while this was a command that was given to the disciples, the apostles that had been with him while he was alive, we know that the command is for us today because the disciples are not here at the end of the age, but we are. And so, in order to be confident that the Lord is with us, we have to carry out the threefold command, which is to make disciples or followers of the Lord. In other words, we preach the gospel, and as we preach the gospel, one of the things we'll do as we make disciples, as people come to faith in Christ, is we'll have them identify with the Lord in baptism by being immersed. And then we will teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And that's pretty easy, really, to teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, because that's summed up in love God and love one another. But now today we want to go to John 14:3. And while there's many other scriptures we could go to, this is a scripture that I would like to end this series on. It's a promise that is made to his disciples. It's a promise that is made to us, where the Lord says in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now we know that John 14 starts out, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Lord has given us that promise, and that promise is just as sure as the promise that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The promise that when we trust the Lord saves us is just as sure as this promise that when the Lord has left, and that he is coming again the second time. Now, When we look at the second coming of the Lord, it's been nearly 2,000 years since this promise has been made, and some people have lost heart, and they have begun to make fun of the coming of the Lord. There's even a song that I used to enjoy when I was a youngster that I guess I didn't really understand the lyrics. I just liked the tune, but it was called Delta Dawn, and the song really mocked the Lord's return. Delta Dawn means change in the morning. Delta Dawn, what's that flower you've got on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say that he's meeting you here today to take you to the mansions in the sky? So when you look at that song, a very pretty song, it was in essence making fun of this promise that the Lord has said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in this passage, he says, if these things weren't so, I would have told you. And he gives us assurance that we can depend on the things that he has told us. So even though it's been 2,000 years, and even though in 2 Peter 3, we read that there will be those who will be scoffers in the last time saying, where is the promise of his coming? The Lord is coming again. The one thing that we can be sure of is that when the Lord makes a promise, he fulfills it. What we can't be sure of is just exactly when he will fulfill the promise. And many of our discussions and controversies in the scripture deal with the element of time rather than with the element of the promise. And the Lord has said he's coming again. Now, his first coming was as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, and that coming was a coming to provide for our sins. He fulfilled Isaiah 53 at that time. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. And that's what happened the first time, and he proved that he satisfied his Father when he died at the cross, because he was raised from the dead. The grave could not hold him. Death had no final ultimate power over the Lord Jesus. And when he was raised from the dead, he proved himself to be alive after many infallible proofs we read in Acts chapter 2. And then he went out as far as Bethany, and he was taken up into a cloud out of their sight, and angels testified to the fact that this same Jesus, not another, but this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And so again, the angels are reminding us of this promise. And when we look at the promise of the Lord's return, there are many theories about how it will happen, and whether it'll be at the very end of time, or whether the Lord's return is going to happen before the end of time, and there's another age coming. And I personally believe that the Lord's coming is going to involve the Lord coming to set up his kingdom, and that there is a thousand-year reign that is a part of an age to come. And this will not, the Lord's coming will not necessarily signify the very end of time as far as the history of this earth is concerned. I believe, and many people believe that the Lord has told us as Christians that his coming is a coming of hope, it's a coming of comfort, and it's a purifying hope, and it's a coming that will save us from the things that are going to come upon an unbelieving world. We, in 1 Thessalonians 1, have been delivered from the wrath to come. And so, when we look at the book of the Revelation, that's the end of the story. And in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most scholars, starting with chapter 6 through chapter 19, we have a period when the Lord judges the earth for rejecting him. And those unbelievers are going to experience the coming of the Lord before he sets up his kingdom. And that starts really Revelation 19 through the end, which also takes us into the eternal state of God. But the Lord is going to come to judge the earth, and then he's going to set up his kingdom. But for those of us that are saved today, 1 Thessalonians 4 would seem to indicate that his coming is not a coming at all of judgment. That's what it is for the unbelieving world, but his coming for us is a comfort of hope. The Lord himself, this same Jesus we read in Acts chapter 1. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, this same Jesus, the Lord himself, the same Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So those of us that are saved, the coming of the Lord is a comfort. This world has little to offer us, but the Lord has everything to offer us. And while we don't know when the Lord is going to come, and while we don't know who is going to be alive, who will be alive and will remain at the coming of the Lord, we know that that's going to happen. Because in John 14, we have read, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And the ones that are going to be received are going to be the saved. And whether we are dead or alive, we're going to be a part of this great removal of the church from the earth. If we're dead in Christ, we're going to actually rise first. Then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that's a comfort to those of us that are saved. But when the Christians are removed, then it appears that the judgments will begin. The judgments actually start with this world trying to obtain their own peace and signing a peace treaty with a man who offers peace, but who is really an anti-Christ. And so thankfully, those of us that are saved are completely saved, and we're delivered from that wrath and from that deception. We're going to be with the Lord, and I believe we'll be looking down on the earth as those things begin to take place. The coming of the Lord is not two comings. The Lord is going to come as one coming. He came the first time as a babe. He's coming the second time to set up his kingdom. But as part of that, he delivers the Christians from the judgment, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So this gives us comfort. And thinking of the fact that we're going to meet the Lord, it causes us to purify ourselves. And it gives us joy. In Titus 2, verse 13, Paul writes to Titus and says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. For those of us that are saved, this is a blessed hope. It's a promise we can depend on. And dear friend, the only way you can be blessed and comforted, and that this will give you something to look forward to, is if you're in Christ, and that means you've trusted him as your Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon this program and upon all that have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the beautiful promises we have in your word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, and we commit ourselves into your care and our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.